Very good. We want to go to Hebrews. I'm going to try not to keep us very late. I know the time changed to our advantage, but somehow the time change still messes with us, I think. And it seems like sleep doesn't happen when it's supposed to. And or you still get up at the normal time, your body time, but the clock is different, so it didn't gain anything there. However it works, I know when you get beyond 8, it gets a little harder with the clock changes. So we're going to try to go quickly here. But some quick review, because we haven't been in Hebrews for a while here. Kind of looking at a type through Melchizedek, a type of Christ, universal priesthood, royal, obscure, higher, and eternal priesthood. And then we started looking at a list, which continues on to today, how Christ is superior, or continuing the line of Melchizedek, how that is superior to the line of Aaron, in regards to perfection, the law, to the heart, in relation to hope, in relation to surety and eternity and the character and to the work. The sacrifice, and then to the place. And here this afternoon, we want to look just verse 6. And it's really just one point, but we have a few points under it. In verse 6, it says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." And so far, 11th point. I'm going to call that in relation to the better, and there's probably a better way of saying that, but in the aspect of obviously the superiority of Christ, but in this verse specifically, three times it mentions better, and the first one was more excellent, and that idea of this is better in so many different ways, and this is a verse that seems to have 3 points right in it, although obviously the thought continues going on. It seemed worthwhile to kind of slow down and look at this one verse in regards to the aspect of a better. And I know that, again, for us, this side of the cross, for us as Gentiles, this is all seems to make simple sense. Like, we already know this, or we should already know this. For a Jew, this is a difficult thing to tackle. And certainly written to Hebrews, written to the Jews, struggling, trying to fit all the pieces together. This makes sense why this has to be explained, but I know for us, we get it, we know it. But we want to look at chapter 8, verse 6. Before we get started, let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you again for your word. I thank you for this book of Hebrews. We thank you for the depths of the connection, the old and the new. We thank you for the very reality of what we have in Christ. And I do pray that our time that remains here this afternoon, that you would challenge each of our hearts and just remind us of what we do have in you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Probably won't, if you know my brother Bob, you probably won't be surprised by these statements. If you don't know my brother Bob, let me tell you something about him. growing up, many years of our growing up time frame, we did not have a television. But yet, somehow Bob still kept up to date, and I don't know how, I'm guessing it's just classmates, but he kept up to date on all the sports. He knew the rankings, for instance, of baseball, and he knew who the players were, and it wasn't because we were watching it, he just somehow kept up with all that. This was obviously well before smartphones and internet, and all of that means that we have easily available to us today. But there were many discussions with Bob in regards to what was better. And he will often make scenarios of which I don't know. And I don't know. He would say, "So Art, who do you think is better?" And he'd rattle off two baseball players. I'm like, "I don't know. I don't care." And he'd go into this, he'd have all the stats, and this guy's better because of this, and this guy, whatever. And it was always Bob. He was always keeping track of all those details, even in the time frame that we had no television. My brother John, the third one, so myself and Bob, then John is the third son, he took a liking to the Chicago Sox, which to Bob was the nemesis of a Chicago Cubs fan, and still to this day, I'm still convinced that John was a Sox fan just because Bob was a Cubs fan, so I don't believe that John could ever name even a single player for the Sox team, or cared about the Sox team, but he was always a Sox fan, because I think Bob was a Cubs fan, and when it came Christmas time, and you know, Bob would ask for a Cubs T-shirt, John would ask for a Sox T-shirt, all the discussions, that'll be the polite way of saying it when my parents are here, but ultimately it was arguments that took place between Bob and John of who was better, And this was from the 80s, so the Cubs actually were playing decent baseball, kind of getting back to that cycle again a little bit. And so in the 80s, the Cubs were actually kind of beginning to figure out how to play, and they never quite made it all the way to where we hoped they would, but better than many decades before and after. And Bob and John would have these discussions, which John was completely unprepared for. He couldn't name a single statistic, single player, couldn't name any reasons why the Sox were better than the Cubs. But Bob could fire right back all the details why the Cubs were better than the Sox. And I would sit back and think to myself, who cares? It doesn't matter. Who really cares, Bob? Just cool it. It doesn't matter. But Bob would get fired up and, you don't talk bad about my Cubs. And there's why they're so much better than the Sox. And what kind of never helped our scenario out, and there's a reason why I'm getting into this, but what helped our scenario, or John's scenario out, was back in the 80s, Comiskey Park seemed to never get any clientele. It never got people interested in going to a Sox game. So it seems like if you there's a gas station that you got 8 gallons of gas, you got a free ticket to the Sox game. You buy a package of hot dogs, you got another free ticket to the Sox game. And so there were several summers that we went to Sox games just because it was absolute. They literally gave us tickets to go to the games. And so when it came to that time, John was always reminding Bob, "We're going to another Sox game." And Bob would have to remind John back, right back in his face, and tell him the reasoning was is because no one ever wants to go to a Sox game, so they have to give away the tickets. The Cubs are still paying a lot or charging a lot for their tickets because there's a game you want to go watch. And so we're going to a Sox game because it's free because nobody goes. Can't afford to go to Cubs because everybody wants to go there. And on it went. But I'm guessing that we've all had those conversations of what is better. This or that. And it could be in regards to vegetables or baseball teams. It could be in regards to baseball versus football. The list goes on of what is better. Well, here in this verse, imagine if you could just step into the shoes of a Jew. The law, the covenant, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and even more specifically Moses, and all these details that they had been trained on and gone to the synagogue and been taught on, and their trips to the temple so many times a year and being reminded of in person all the details and all the significance. Certainly they had, throughout their history, they had grown accustomed to a couple of things. Number one, obviously they understood the whole lineage of the priestly line. And who was qualified and called to be a high priest, who were one of the Levites and the servants of the temple. And they knew the roles, the positions, the people. Any Jew would have known all those details. Certainly through their lineage, they would have known that there have been some that certainly messed up, certainly did not do their role correctly. But they also were aware of a God that obviously seemed to be there amongst them. They had been taught about how the Lord had won battle after battle for them in their past. They had been taught about a guy who, while they were bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, the essence of the presence of God, so to speak, just because the ox stumbled and he put up his arm to protect the Ark, his life came to an end. And they were taught the reality that this was God, this was about God, this was his essence, this was his calling, this was his direction. We do this because it's what God has called us to do. There's no variances here. There's no exception. This is what we do because God told us to do it. And then Christ came on the scene, and obviously he didn't disrupt the cart, so to speak, but yet things were different. And we're writing this after the cross, and the writer of Hebrews is discussing the reality of Christ in connection to the reality of the priestly line of Aaron. And the conversation, I'm certain, would have gone something to the lines eventually to, well, what is better? Aaron, that which we have been accustomed to and that which we know that God is a part of it. Or Christ, which we don't know very much about. We're not quite figuring out all the puzzle pieces here. But how are you telling us that this new is better than what we know? And again, for us, we get this. We're the other side of the cross. We are Gentiles. We don't have their history that they did. We don't go to the synagogue and are taught the history of the nation of Israel. week after week after week. And so this is simple to us, but this would have been a challenge for them. How is Christ better than that which has been with us for so many generations? How is Christ better than that which is the foundation and essence of our entire system? How can you put these words together? Well, when we come to this verse here, verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. Christ's ministry even was better. His ministry was more excellent. Kind of my first kind of a subpoint there, a better ministry. Interesting enough, the word there in the Greek, excellent, is a liturgia, which obviously we get our English or Latin variety of it, of the liturgy, kind of that of a public function or service. The very essence of the liturgy, the exact word there, the liturgy of Christ, the function, the service of Christ was better. Now, every Jew probably reading this verse in the first century is scratching your head saying, whoa, you've about just crossed the line here. Time out. This is you're going to have to do some splaining. What was it, Lucy? And got to do some splaining here. This is not adding up. There's no way that Christ's ministry, his liturgy of sorts, is better than Aaron. How can you even connect the two that Christ is better than? You know, obviously, a lineage of their sorts and the history of their sorts, the education of their time would have promoted and promoted and promoted that which was already established to grasp the reality of something else, and not only to grasp something else, but to grasp it as an improvement, a betterment, a more excellent ministry would have been very difficult for them to grasp. I know that from generation to generation, things change. I know that the generation before us, regardless of what our generation is, the generation before us had to walk farther in deeper snow with fewer clothes on. That's how that always, regardless of what our generation is. Exactly, uphill, and even if we had to walk barefoot uphill in the snow, what they had to walk in was higher elevation and deeper snow. And so we know that things change from generation to generation, and if the Lord tarries, every generation that comes after is just gonna, it's just gonna be easier and easier. That's how that works out until we get to an age where we now interpret our struggles as uphill in the snow. So every generation there's a change, and every generation, if we were honest, says that ours was better than the current. It's pretty much how that works out. Or, you know, we were tougher than the current. We had to go through a lot more than the current. Things were more challenging than the current. And imagine for these Jews who are hearing, even in regards to the service, what Christ did was better. And I know that would be certainly fighting words to many, but we know what Christ did was better than anything that of the lineage of Aaron could ever accomplish. Continues on, it kind of helps explain it then, and continuing on in verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, and here's how. By how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant. Not only do we have a better ministry, but we obviously have a better covenant. And part of that better covenant is by the work of a, if I can throw it in this way, a better mediator. Certainly Christ was a better mediator than anything that any of the lineage of Aaron could have ever accomplished. When you think about a mediator in their day and age, the high priest being the mediator, recall that they had to get prepared to go in to be the mediator. They had to do a work of preparation, and if they didn't prepare correctly, the rest of the community did a preparation of the dead, is how that worked out. And so the mediator was all man doing a work in order to be accepted by a holy God that would not accept just common man. And so the high priest, sinner like any of us, had to go through the process of being worthy to go in the hopes of being able to come back out. And so their mediator aspect was, I am a delegate of mankind going before a holy God, and there's a possibility, there was always a possibility, I'm not coming back out. And if that would ever happen, and I'm certain it probably did, there would have to be a situation where now we got to find a new quote-unquote mediator to go in and be the next in the lineage, but we got to find somebody else, Aaron's line, to go in for us. Because we can't go before a holy God in and of ourselves, and as our mediator, we got to find one of us, mankind, to stand before a holy God. Now, Christ certainly was a better mediator because he was already God, but he came as man. And he reversed the roles, which made that so much more better, being already God, but also as man. And he made that connection between us and God in a way that Aaron's lineage could never do. I don't believe that I have ever hired a driver. Never used Uber of recent days or Lyft or whatever the other ones were. I don't believe that I've ever hired to have a driver drive me somewhere. Or had to. No one ever used a taxi from my recollection. I've either driven or, you know, there are times at work that a bunch of people go together in one car and somebody drives. But I've never had a situation where I had to use somebody else and hired them to drive me somewhere. But in so doing, I know there are those that can't drive or don't drive or they don't even have a license to drive. And so they are dependent upon a Lyft, an Uber. They were dependent upon a taxi of some sort. But in many cases, there are those that have the ability to drive. They have the means to drive. They have the license to drive. They are legally able to drive, but they hire somebody else to drive for them. In some cases, it's a benefit because the one they hired is a better driver or more suited to drive, especially in those cases. But I would dare say that history has proven that there have been a number of instances when you have hired a driver and that driver actually wasn't a very good driver. The very illustration of Princess Diana and so many others like her, that hired driver and death came as a result of, and I know there's a lot going on with Princess Di, but certainly others where a hired driver really didn't prove to be as beneficial maybe as people thought it would be. The gain wasn't there. We didn't actually make it to the destination. Why? Because they're just as human as we are. They are at fault as much as we are. And there are other vehicles on the road, just like if we were driving, and things don't work out. But Christ came as a mediator, a better mediator. He didn't have to prepare himself. He didn't have to go through a ritualistic cleansing. He didn't have to do the right things, to say the right things, and be at the right spot at the right time. He was already God coming as man, and so his role of mediator was already better. And because of that, the covenant that he fulfilled was better. As it says there in verse 6, not only a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant. The covenant of Aaron was something that involved the things of here, the things of now, the things of this life. The covenant that is of Christ is much beyond that. And I'm jumping to my next point here, so let me jump into that because it really just snowballs. It says, which was established upon better promises. A better ministry, better covenant, better promise. In relation to the better promise, certainly as you look at the Old Testament, there are promises that were given to the nation of Israel. Promises if they did this, they'd have longer life. If they did this, they'd have better crops. If they did this, they'd have victory in battle. If they did this, then this would happen. And certainly great promises, but ultimately the majority of the promises of the old were in essence about here. The promises of the new do still involve life here on this earth. There are still many promises that I mentioned quickly this morning. There are still promises that involve our life here on this earth today. But we serve a better a superiority of Christ is better in the regards to even consider just the promises involved. Many promises that we have that are not just life on earth centered, but eternity centered. How many things are not just about the crops and the fields, but the very reality of our hearts? And as we consider the differences, again, for them, this was a difficult challenge. Wait, these are fighting words. Gotta do some explaining here, because you can't say what we have grown up under and our fathers and our grandfathers and our great-great-grandfathers grew up under. You can't say that suddenly something is better than this. Like, trying to explain to Bob that the Sox are better than the Cubs. You're going to have to do a lot more explaining to get that point across to Bob in that regard. But when we look at the very fact of a better ministry and a better covenant and even a better promise, certainly then they begin to put the pieces together. And when we hear the words of Christ, which we'll get to, Lord willing, in a few weeks, when he says the words, "It is finished," right there is a better promise, instituting a better covenant and fulfilling a better ministry of Christ. It is finished. Finished. And certainly the reality of the better Christ. Yes, the line of Aaron meant much to the children of Israel, to the nation of Israel, to every Jew alive at the time that this was written. And it was something that is going to be hard for them to grasp how this all fits together. But I would hope that we can't deny. I'm glad we're not under the line of Aaron anymore. Because we have a better ministry through Christ, which involved a better covenant, because he was a better mediator with better promises for us. And what a reminder that is. I'm thankful that when he said it is finished, that we don't have to keep going back and offering sacrifices again. We don't have to keep going every year with a spotless lamb to find atonement before a God, of which it's not going to last very long because I continue to sin. The work of Christ was better in the fact that when he said it is finished, it was finished. And boy, I trust that we marvel in that. But as well, I trust that we don't grow old of that reality as well. For Muriel, here this last week, here in the last couple of weeks, in fact, whenever we would visit, she'd show a little bit of a discontentment in a humorous way, and she acknowledged that little discontent that I'm still here on this earth. I woke up and I'm still here. And Tuesday morning when she, figuratively, so to speak, woke up in the presence of her Lord, I can guarantee you that she understands in greater detail than perhaps I could even explain this morning or this afternoon. In relation to the better, in relation to what Christ accomplished for us, even in the very three words, "It is finished," how much better that is in its fullness and its completeness, especially as we stand before our Lord one day. Sox or Cubs, I bet we could all debate that, or probably most of us could care less about it. Sox or Cubs or Cardinals, I guess we get a little greater argument in many circles. But the very reality is Christ is better. And a single verse, the better, a more excellent ministry, a better covenant, a better promise. Because ultimately, he's a better mediator that they didn't have before, which we've been enjoying. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for your word. Certainly just a quick verse, but I pray that we'd be reminded again of just the superiority. Certainly all the things that were so familiar and so accustomed and traditional, even to that reality of old and early New Testament Jew, certainly a struggle to grasp the reality of what was accomplished in Christ. For us, I trust that we all grasp that, we all know that. But I pray that you would remind us of what so often we take perhaps for granted, overlook, and lose sight of the better. And we thank you for that. I pray that as we go our separate ways, that you use us, that you direct us, that we follow after your will, follow after your work. And we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to look in closing, 496. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence, daily live. Let's stand as we sing 496.